join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Dr. Marcia Bailey continues with Carriers of the Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody scream out, I want your glory, God.
I want your glory, God.
Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout that out one more time. I want your glory, God. Glory to God. These are days of his glory. These are days of his manifested presence resting on his people. If you cry out that, God, I desire to see your glory, that I want to experience your glory, people of God, he will answer you. Come on, I dare you to shout that thing out one more time. God, I want your glory. God, I need to see your glory. I desire your glory. If you cry out for his glory, he will fall fresh on you. He will fall on you like never before. I'm telling you, these are the days of the glorious church. These are the days of the manifested presence of God. These are the days that when we cry out to God, he will answer us with his presence. Say, God, I want your glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's time for the church. It's time. It's just time. It's time. Tell him when you cry out for him, he'll answer you. He'll fill your cup till it overflows. He will anoint you with his oil and your cup will overflow. You'll be slippery to the enemy. What the enemy used to be able to do to you, he will not be able to do because the glory of God will rest mightily on you. Say, God, I want your glory. God, I want to see your glory. God, fall fresh on me with your glory. Now give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Your praise is like a crowbar, and it opens up heaven, and heaven begins to pour out all that you need in your life. You're supposed to carry the glory. You're supposed to be filled with the glory. And every time you give God praise, every time you worship God, heaven pours out fresh fire, fresh anointing on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are we doing? We're stirring it up. We're stirring it up. We're stirring it up. The glory goes to hungry people. The glory falls fresh on people who are pressed into his presence. Come on now. When you press into his presence, you are proving and showing that you're hungry for God. And God will answer your appetite with his glory. He will answer your hunger with his glory. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Colossians 1:27, the latter part of it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Amplified says, Christ within and among you, within and among you, the anointed one and his anointings, the hope, realizing the glory. I'm telling you, these days, as you begin to walk throughout your day in your house, driving in the car, the Holy Ghost is going to begin to whisper to you that the power of God is resting on you. It's increasing on you. Why? Because these days, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. The world needs to have some hope, and we're carriers of that hope. And so in these days, God is intensifying his presence on us so that we can begin to be used to bring answer to a troubling situation. God wants to make known his glory and his power through us. And here you have Paul telling the people of God, he's saying that the Gentiles, the people who weren't born in this covenant, will also experience this glory, will also experience. So all of us together, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. You won't understand it. And I love it because they thought, because of who they were born into this. They were called out. They were of the seed of Abraham, so they qualified for it. But God said, there's a people that may not look like they qualify for this level of anointing. There is a people who look like they may not qualify this level of power. And why? Because these are the Gentiles. These are the ones who weren't born in Abraham. But Jesus came unto them and they received him. And all you have to do to qualify for this level of glory and power in these days is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I don't care what your past looked like. People can't disqualify you from this level of glory. God said it's a mystery to some of them. They don't understand. They know your past. They know what education you do not have. They will not understand when you be called forward. You begin to release the wisdom. It's Christ, the anointed one, and his anointings in you. The expectation of glory, that when heaven sees man, heaven is expecting man to walk in this glory, to walk in this power, to walk in this revelation, and to walk in this anointing. I love what 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So this is not something we can conjure up. I don't care how loud you dance or how hard you dance, you can't conjure this up. I don't care how loud you sing, how good you sing, you can't conjure this up. This glory, this power is not going to be about you. It's not of you. It's nothing about you that brings this level of anointing out. There's nothing about you that brings this level of power out. It's a mystery why Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is abiding on the inside of us. But it is him that he wants us to realize, that because he lives on the inside of us, we have the ability to operate and walk in the glory of God. Somebody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Look at your neighbor and say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why at this time? We're hope to a broken world. We're hope to a confusing time. We're hope to some who's lost or hurting. You're going to carry the anointing of God. What am I saying? The anointing will be so thick on you. The glory will be so thick on you that you will be detectable. Come on now. You have a homing signal on you. And people are going to be drawn to you from all over the place. And you don't understand why they're seeking you. Why are you in a grocery store and they're pouring out their heart to you? You in a carpool line and they knocking on the door and say, can you pray for me? And you don't understand what's going on. Some of you may identify with that right now. That is my life. I don't know what's going on, but I arrive at places and people say, can you pray with me? I need to talk to you. I show up at appointments and they are pulling on me. It's nothing about me, but in this season, the glory of God is rising on his people. And so it's so noticeable. It's something about you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in you and on you, as calling people to come who are broken, who are hopeless, who are got something going on. And he wants you to just trust him and begin to pray. I was talking to someone on today and I moved from talking to praying. And then at the end of the conversation, they said, that's what I need to do. I'm not strong in my faith. And I don't really know this sister, but she called me. So I returned her phone call. She said, I'm not strong in my faith, but I know God is you wants to use me that I can just boldly pray for people without, because I don't have the words. I want to do it just like you. You were talking and then you start praying. And I'm like, you don't want to do it just like me. I should have said, I'm getting ready to pray for you. But I just walked right into it. I just start talking and praying. Come on now, because I sense something. Come on, this glory that's on you, it breaks protocol. I know there's a way to do things, but I sense a right time, a right moment, a hot time. It's going like a hot sign, like the Krispy Kreme donut. Pray now, power now, glory now, healing now, deliverance now, and you might have to jump for it. You can't be concerned about people look at you and think about you. I said this a couple of weeks ago. The Lord began to deal with me about us, Bishop and I, we're anomalies. We don't fit in anywhere. But there's something different that allows us to go in different places, but he doesn't want us to fit in. You have to be who you are. And people may not understand your praise, understand how you do things, but that is okay. I finally truly reached a place in my life that I don't care if you don't understand me. I don't care if you don't get me. You can even laugh at me all you want, but I know Christ in me is the hope of glory. And if you got a situation, I know who you're going to call. You can laugh at me tomorrow, but you're going to call me the next day, because I understand who I walk with, who I talk with, who I spend time with, who I seen in my closet. So you be who you are, regardless if anybody sees it or not. Come on, give God some praise. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Hope, 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 hope. So this glory that's resting and is ready for us, he said it's because, it's not because for us to look good. It's to be that solution, to be his hands. Come on, to be his heart. Come on now, to begin to look at certain things and say, you know what, God, I don't care about my comfort, but there's something that's bothering me, that when you look at the news, that it compels you to pray. Come on now, it compels you to begin to go before God and intercede for people you don't even know, for situations that's not in your neighborhood. Come on now, that the Lord begins to rest on you. That's what the glory is for. And as you begin to be obedient and respond to matters that's not important to you because it's not in your neighborhood, God says, I can trust you with the glory. And as I begin to speak to you and you respond, that he'll allow that glory to rise more on you. And as you respond more, it rises more on you. And before you know it, you have glory to the full, to the overflows. He wants our shadows to be anointed. He wants revivals to break out when we go to work. Come on now. He wants people to begin to fall on their knees in a grocery store. Say, what must I do to be saved? You think this is not the case? There's an evangelist many years ago. His last name was Finney. And he was in a subway car driving over the city of New York. And the he crossed over some bars. I believe I told some people the story. And everybody in the bar, they didn't understand. At one moment, at one time, began to fall on their knees and call on the name of Jesus. Because his shadow that was overcasting overhead in a subway car showed showed up in the city and commanded a response. Glory to God. What am I saying? Some of us are praying for our families, praying for situations in our lives. The glory is the answer to the situations in your life. As you begin to cry out for his glory, cry out for his power, then you show up to the reunion, show up to the family member. Glory to God. Lay hands on the sneakers. Glory to God. Lay hands on the jeans. Glory to God. And all of a sudden, you leave a residue of the glory. And your young people or anybody wearing those shoes or jeans, all of a sudden, they cannot walk into the street. They want to go. They find themselves going backwards. Why? The glory is pulling them out of a tough situation and a tough circumstance. I believe that the power of God will rest mightily on us these days. I'm reminded of the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He went to the house of a woman who had a husband who was just mean. And so I don't know if he wasn't around. I can't remember the story exactly, but he slept in the bed. He slept in that man's bed. And then when that man came home, eventually, he couldn't get it right until he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. What am I telling? That the glory that's in us and on us and around us, it will begin to permeate in our atmosphere, in our environment. You sit on the couch, you hear me. You lay out on the couch, and people that come to visit you will have to get their lives together. I believe that's why it's getting ready to be an end-time revival and souls coming into the kingdom like never before. Why? Because the glory of God is going to draw them. And as we begin to press into this place, we're going to move from glory to glory. That's what 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse says. We move and we go from glory to glory, that we're going to begin to increase in this glory. And we're going to go from one level of glory to the next level of glory. So what am I saying? That you cannot begin to put God in a box. You cannot try to figure this thing out. You just got to go and ride with it. Come on. God says, can you just ride with me? Ride with me. Can you just ride with me? You cannot figure this thing out. You can have a list of songs, right? And that one Sunday, it ushers in the glory. You play those same songs on Wednesday, nothing happens. God will not make his glory a religion. You cannot put a formula to this, but you must put your heart into it. And as you begin to be authentically hungry for God, he'll meet us at every table that we put before God and say, God, feed me. Feed me. What am I saying? We no longer look for people to entertain us. That you're not expecting me to do this, Bishop to do this, Minister Sean to do it, but you bring your own table. Come on now. And you lay it before God. Say, God, put on my table what you want me to eat. I'm hungry and I need you to feed me, and I'm not looking for man to entertain me. I'm looking for you to fill me. And so God said, as you bring your hunger and you bring your desire and you bring your passion, I will meet you there. Glory means majesty. That means royal power. That God's going to show up in this season with his royal power. Glory means majesty. It means honor. It means high respect. Glory to God. And great esteem. Praise God. That's why when God began to get ready to deliver his people, he says, I'm going to make them respect you. He told Moses to tell my people that I'm getting ready to bring them out, and I'm going to give them favor and respect. That the person that had them under thumb, the person that was condescending to them, the person that had them in slavery, all of a sudden they're going to look at them with respect. This is the season when God turns the tables. Glory to God. When the last become first and the first become last. That is why it's so important to humble yourself before God. God resisted the proud. Come on now. But he gives more grace to the humble. And as we just yield ourselves to God and realize he may use the person in the back row that I may not know, but he don't need my permission. Glory to God. Because I recognize, God, you do what you do. And I know you are God. I will not put you in in a box or anybody in a box. So you just humbled yourself before him. So you don't be the one that God turned the tables on. Glory to God. It means splendor. It means excellence. And it means power. So glory means majesty. Royal power. Royal power. Think of army. Royal power. Think of everything heaven has. Glory to God. Coming to your defense. Royal power. Not just a couple of weapons, but the whole arsenal, the whole heaven showing up. Honor, high respect, and great esteem. Splendor, excellence, and power. So in this season, this is what God's glory is going to show up, and it's going to show up in us and through us. That's why Paul prayed for the church, that we might have an understanding, a revelation of this exceeding greatness of the power that's in us and for us. In us and for us. It's in us and it's for us. It's working in me and is working for me. Glory to God. The God began to say, as you begin to step out and trust me and allow that glory to flow out of you, I'll have the glory working for you. Praise God. Somebody say the year of the double. Yeah, working in me and working for me, the year of the double. As I begin to step out in the glory and trust God to do certain things, lay hands on the sick, speak God's word, then the glory shows up in me and it comes, shows up for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is just there because God said, I designated, I called you, I have marked you for this glory. Now, Psalms 8 speaks of man. What is man that you are mindful of him? And it says that you have crowned him with glory. You put a crown, you put a diadem. You put something on him. You encircled him with this glory. So man, which is us, we are crowned. We encircled with glory. Glory surrounds us. And glory is in us. And God said, this is what I'm calling for us to begin to walk in. But we're going from glory to glory. You understand me? We're going from glory to glory. Somebody say next level glory. And so when glory shows up, it's going to impact your physical being. It would cause you to act out of yourself, which is why you have to humble yourself. Because if you don't humble yourself, you'll resist the power of the glory because you say, that's not me. It's not me. I don't do that. You may find yourself kneeling. You may find yourself going prostrate. You may find yourself weeping. You might find yourself jumping. You might find yourself running. You don't understand it, but when the glory of God, this kabod, the weightiness hits you, it does something to your frame. In praise and worship, I got to a point that I had to sit because it was heavy on me. The glory God will rest on you that you can't even stand under it. That's why the priests would go into the temple back in the Bible days and they couldn't stand under the glory. And God says, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he wants to show up in that level of glory just like he did before. But we got to be okay with it. You understand what I'm saying? It will interrupt your schedule, mess with your program. Come on down. It will mess with, this is not what I came planned to do. So the glory will show up and you just have to go with it. But respond to it, honor it, because God said this is the mark of the glory and this is the time of the glory. So as you begin to embrace it, lean in into it, if you're weeping or even go prostrate, I mean, going face down. I've seen some of that during this time of talking about the glory of God. Just times where you see in the scriptures when the presence of God showed up, the people of God went face down. They went face down. That is a response to God's presence. That you honor him, you go prostrate. And so the thing is, when we can't go prostrate, it's a problem. It's a problem if we can't go prostrate. But answers come on your face. So the last couple of weeks, I've been meeting God on my face every day. I'm not saying I'm getting an answer at that time, but he says, I want you to smell the carpet. I want you, I don't care if the carpet fibers itch you, but I need you to get on my face, get on your face and begin to cry out for me. And as I begin to get on my face and I begin to cry out, he began to show me there's times in his scriptures when the people of God went on their face. When Jehoshaphat was getting ready to go into battle and he stood before the Lord, him and the people, and the word came before that said, we don't have to fight in this battle. What the response for Jehoshaphat and the people, the words that they went on their face. They fell out before God. And the next thing, he gets up and he points the strategy that he got would be on his face. So in these days, as we spend time in the presence of God, I challenge you to go on your face. I challenge you to let the carpet meet you. And I don't care if you don't feel anything. It's not about a feeling. It's about honoring God. It's about reverencing God. It's about humbling yourself before God. Because I'm telling you, if we as a people begin to humble ourselves like never before, we'll begin to see God show up in miracles. We'll begin to see God show up in signs and wonders. Because when the people of God fall out before God, it's a sign of his presence being in their midst. And one day when we go down, we're going to come up with the glory. We're going to see the power of God in our lives and in our houses and in our experiences. Amen. So God said, I want you to begin to go prostrate. I want you to respond to this glory of God. So Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the first verse is arise from spiritual depression to a new life. I'm reading from the Amplified. Shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. For in fact, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness will cover the people, but the Lord, but the Lord, but the Lord, but the Lord will rise upon you. The glory, the hope of glory is an answer to a troubled time, answer to lost people, answer to chaotic time. The glory of God is going to rise on us. And as a result of that, nations will come to our light and kings to our brightness of your rising. People are going to come to seek us out, seek out the church for answers, for wisdom, for strategy. So lift up your eyes, change how you're seeing, change how you're looking, change your perspective. Lift up your eyes around you and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters will be looked after at the side. There's going to be a great revival as the time of this glory. Amen. So we must shake off anything that causes us to think we don't qualify for it. It says, rise from spiritual depression. Anything that held us down, we got to fight, y'all. We got to fight this heaviness. Come on now. You got to fight the doubt. You got to fight the weariness. You got to shake this thing off because we're in days of glory. Amen. He doesn't want you to be a spectator of this glory. He wants you to experience the glory. Amen. Hey, God, the second chapter, the fourth verse, and through the ninth verse says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land. Be strong. Be strong. God said, I know what you've been through. I know what you've been dealing with, but I need you to be strong right now. I need you to be strong. I know it's hard right now, but I need you to be strong. I need you to be able to say, okay, God, I trust you. I believe you. I know your heart is weary and you may be doubting right now, but shake that thing off. Be strong. Be strong. Why? Because he says, according to the word that I covenant with you, God said, I gave you a promise. I told you some stuff. According to that word, I made a covenant. I made a covenant with you. I made a covenant about your children coming home to be with the Lord. I'm being born again. I made a covenant with you about your breakthrough, your healing. I made a promise with you. I made a covenant with you. When you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth with you.
God wants to show himself strong in the earth, and it will only happen through you. We are to be carriers of his light and power among darkness. In this powerful series, Dr. Marsha Bailey explains how we must position ourselves for the glory of God to be manifested. Order this powerful four-part series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Carriers of the Glory. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.